This episode of Chris Brown's True Stewardship is brought to you by Secure Give, the leading provider of safe and simple giving software for churches and charities that can be implemented through kiosks, online, mobile app, and text-to-give options. It's designed to grow your giving, save you time, and reach more people. Learn more at securegive.com. Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks. It's time for our daily checkup. How are we doing when it comes to managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory? How about when it comes to our perspective? Is our heart, is our words, are they filled with praise? I'm Chris Brown, I'm your host, and I love Isaiah 26's song of praise. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter, the nation that keeps faith. You'll keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord himself is the rock eternal. The path of the righteous is level. You, the upright one, make the way of the righteous smooth. As I read this praise, filter it. What does your life look like? Goes on in verse 8 to say, yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws. We wait for you, your name and renown, and the desire of our hearts. My soul yearns for you in the night. In the morning, my spirit longs for you. In verse 12, it says, Lord, you established peace for us. All that we have accomplished, you have done for us. Not we, you have done for us. Verse 15, it says, you have enlarged the nation, Lord. You've enlarged the nation. You have gained glory for yourself. You have extended all the borders of the land. Folks, we are managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory. There's a basic sowing and reaping that occurs when we do this, when we walk in line with the scriptures, when we plant corn. Guess what? We get corn. But make no mistake about it, that God is who brings the rain. It is God that brings the increase, not us. And it is that spirit of gratitude, knowing that he's the one that brings the increase. Well, that's the foundation of all things stewardship. Not a spirit of entitlement, but the exact opposite, a spirit of gratitude. I want to welcome you to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Again, I am your host, Chris Brown, and honored that you are tuning in. You guys hear me talk a lot on this show about Financial Peace University. The reality is, this stuff works. What you sow, you reap. We've seen it happen time and time again for years and years and years here at Ramsey Solutions. So if you're looking for a plan to get out of debt, we want to give you the best opportunity to take control of your money, even when you're busy, when you're on the go, when you have millions of things to do. You can experience the same life-changing material online and on your own schedule with the Financial Peace University online resource. So go to stewardship.com, learn much more about that. Well, of course, this is your show, so give us a call, 866-357-3283. We're going to discuss all of your stewardship situations. Again, that number is 866-357-3283, and you can email in as well at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Again, that's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. And it looks like we got a call coming in from Los Angeles, California. This is Calvin. Calvin, how are you?
I am well, Chris. How are you?
Oh, I'm better every day. How can I serve you?
Well, I have an odd little question.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to may give you too much detail, but it's about money. It's about finances.
Uh-huh. You got me nervous, Calvin.
I'm 45 years old. Been working out for three or four days a week for the past 20 years.
So you're ripped out of your mind.
I'm okay. I've been divorced for the past 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
I owe roughly about $40,000 more in alimony.
Okay.
okay? And I probably have about $3,000 left on a car payment.
Okay.
Okay, make about $50,000 a year. Okay. And I have about $20,000 in savings. Here's my problem. I go, even before when I was married and I had Kaiser insurance, I only go to the doctor once, pushing it twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
5 years ago, there was a job loss, so my income went from $80,000 down to basically $50,000, and trying to make ends meet and trying to reduce some of this debt, a majority of it in alimony. Okay? So my logic is this. So about 3 years ago, I actually couldn't afford my medical insurance. So instead of paying the $3,000 a year in medical insurance to Kaiser, which was decent insurance, I just stopped paying it. I dropped that account, or I closed that insurance account. But, you know, I talked to folks and they're like, oh, that's a bad idea. That's a bad idea. And I'm thinking, well, my logic was, if I have the savings, I should just pay cash to go to the doctor. When I pay cash over the past 3 years, I'm spending about $250 to go to the doctor. I get my little checkup. Life is good. And then I get dinged in taxes about $400 or $500 for not having medical insurance, but that's still less than the $3,000 that I would have to pay through Kaiser or any other comparable insurance mm-hmm. for a person of my age. Am I doing the right thing?
I totally get the wrestle, but I would say no. I would say no. You're just putting yourself at a high risk. You really are.
Right.
And you're doing it the right way. I mean, as far as if you're going to go that route, you've got 20 in the bank. You're ready for a catastrophe if it were to hit, kind of, because 20,
right.
you go through $20,000 in 2 seconds if it's a major issue with your health.
Right.
I just think making $50,000 plus, you know, which is hopefully you're going to go in the right direction with your
right.
salary. The difference, you know, $2,000 a year. Which I really think you can get that $3,000 down to two. I think three might be, you might have had a little bit of a Cadillac insurance. I think there's something in the middle, like $150 a month, maybe.
Okay.
Instead of whatever it was, $220 or whatever. So I think you're looking for a catastrophe plan where you're going to have a high deductible, which will keep the expense down. Maybe you can get as low as $1,200 a year. But then you're taking that risk off the table that you're going to go in and have a $100,000 procedure out of nowhere, even though you're healthy.
Right.
I really, really don't like you taking all of that risk on yourself. I think you can meet in the middle. So I would definitely recommend, I like the way you're thinking. You're thinking about keeping expenses low so you can attack that debt. But I think you're a little too extreme on that side, and I'd like you to meet in the middle. So I would encourage you to not only check out a catastrophe plan, this is not why you called, but I would apply that emergency fund towards your debt. I wouldn't have all that $20,000 yet. I wouldn't build that emergency fund until you're out of debt completely. But on the insurance side, I would definitely talk with one of our ELPs. You can find out more information at stewardship.com. They're definitely insurance people that we recommend.
Okay.
And that's what I would do. I'd check out catastrophe plan for health, and I'll check out long-term disability, ask some questions, and see if you can get that down and meet in the middle. Okay?
Super. Thank you very, very much.
All right, Calvin. We appreciate the call.
All righty. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
We know that church leaders have big vision to impact lives, but usually don't have enough resources to make it happen. So if you can make it easier to create a culture of generosity in your church, wouldn't you do it? Secure Give is a leading provider of safe and simple giving software that can be implemented through kiosks, online, mobile app, and text-to-give options. It also has direct integration with the most popular church management systems, allowing automatic reconciliation. Nearly one-third of the top 100 churches in the U.S. use Secure Give. It's designed to grow your giving, save you time, and reach more people. Learn more at securegive.com.
I am your host, Chris Brown, and we're taking your calls at 866-357-3283. And this next call comes out all the way on the West Coast as well. Salem, Oregon, this is Mark. Mark, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing better than I deserve, Chris.
There you go. Well, I'm better every day. How can I serve you?
Well, we have a guest house on our property. It's about a 400-square-foot guest house. We it's been being used as our kind of our Elijah house.
Okay.
And we've got about an acre of ground to keep up. We were looking to maybe sell the property because it was getting a little too much for us to keep up.
Yeah.
When we had a realtor out, he suggested that we could rent out that guest house for about $120 a night. And I figured, well, if that would work, then we could pay for someone to keep up that the grounds.
Mm-hmm.
My wife kind of wants to lessen the workload, and this probably sounds like more, even if I hire somebody to clean the cabin after it's done. And then probably the key, one of the key elements is I don't know how to keep out, let's just say, the unsavory element of society.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're just trying to make sure you keep a stable home is what I'm hearing. You don't want anything to disrupt the stability of your home, right?
Right.
Okay. The nightly thing seems like it's too hard to take care of. Like you mean you, he broke it down per night, but he means monthly or quarterly or annually, doesn't he?
No.
Like nightly?
Yeah. Like, you know, like a, kind of like a bed and breakfast without the breakfast.
Okay. So, and he thinks you're going to get enough volume for that to be worth the hassle?
He seemed to think so. He said there was a couple other people in the area that one's probably about 5-6 miles up the road from us,
mm-hmm.
and they have to go out of the house into the barn to use the bathroom, and she gets a 99 a night.
Hmm. And so have you thought through, obviously you've thought through some of the pros and cons, but let's talk about the cons that where it would affect the privacy of your family. What would be some of the things like that? Like, is there going to be, are you sharing a driveway? Are you sharing any facilities? Are you sharing in a recreation space that's going to drive you nuts?
Just a driveway.
Okay. And what happens on the day when they're parked in a spot where you can't get to where you need to go?
Well, the driveway is big enough so it'll handle four cars side by side.
Okay. Okay. What happens when it's leaking all over your driveway?
It's gravel.
Okay. So you've thought through some of these things, and some of these things, it doesn't sound like anything's bothering you.
About the only thing that's bothering me is I'm not sure how to keep out some people that I wouldn't want in the place that's dedicated to the Lord.
Yeah, you just don't want a lot of misbehavior.
Right.
Here's the deal. I have a couple thoughts on this. It's going to be hard to keep. It's going to be hard to filter what individuals stay there if it's a nightly thing. It's not like you're going to have this interview process every day. So that's going to be a challenge if it's nightly. I don't know if you can avoid that. One way to avoid that is to increase the rate because you're not desperate for the income.
No.
Then you can just increase the rate and you're the highest in town. So when people who are, their main motivation is price point, they're going to pass up on your place. Mm-hmm. If they're looking for maybe a comfort or the stability or class or whatever you want to call it, then you're going to attract. So I'd just increase your price point perhaps. So that might be one thing.
Okay.
The other thing is with the whatever the agreement is when they sign in, there needs to be clear expectations. I'm a firm believer to be clear is to be kind and to be unclear is to be unkind. And so certain behaviors in different environments, people have different perspectives on what is good behavior, what is
true,
reasonable behavior. So if you're clear up front, hey, here's the 5 or 10 things that just cannot happen here, and here's we want you to enjoy it. I would want that kind of clarity when if I'm going to come in and stay somewhere for a night, I'd want to know what's out of bounds and what's in bounds. So that'd be cool to do, have some clear expectations. And the cool thing about this is if it's nightly, you don't have to commit. You're not having to commit to a 1-year contract. Try it for a month. See if it works. But I would recommend from your heart standpoint, I would start with maybe different motives. I would start with the motive to give or to serve rather than to get. So obviously, you don't need the money. So it's hey, how can I serve? How can I minister? How can I make someone take the weight off of them, relieve some stress, give them a great place to be, and kind of have a put this in a different bucket in your mind? It's not a revenue stream, but it's more of an opportunity to give, and I feel like the revenue stream would take care of itself. But if you go into it with a different set of motives, I think it will it'll create a little bit of flexibility in your heart rather than starting off with frustration that they didn't hit the mark every time. So I think it's an incredible opportunity. I mean, talk about stewarding that guest house for God's glory. I mean, that would be a great way to just minister to people. Hey, for $100 or $150 a night or whatever it may be, come in and we're going to just serve the mess out of you and bless you. There's going to be people coming to your property that you can bless. That's pretty cool.
We in the past, oh, 5 or 6, no, probably closer to 10 years, we've used it for missionaries.
Yeah.
And people like that, and they don't pay anything.
Right. Now, see, you're on the right track. I just think that's going to be, for somebody who doesn't necessarily need a huge revenue stream, and I'm making some assumptions there, but I would, you're going to have a lot more fun doing that, you know, where it's like they pay the high fee up front, and then you give them half of it on the way back, on the way out. So therefore, you do the filtering that you need. But then on the back end, you're giving them 50% on the way out and say, you know what? We just enjoyed loving you, having you here, and we want to bless you on the way out. Here's half of your stay. And so you're not only building yourself spiritually, but you're also building yourself financially as well.
That's a great idea. I love that idea.
Yeah, it's just somewhere in the middle. It's somewhere in the middle. And I think you try that for a month and say, you know what? 50% might be too much. Maybe we give them 20% back. And mm-hmm. then we pray for them at their car before they leave without freaking them out. But something like that, I think this is a great opportunity for you to really experience the abundant life that God had promised us, and you've been doing that already, and I wouldn't want to see that stop.
Right.
All righty?
All right. Thank you very much.
Mark, thanks for the call. All right, folks, got an email here from Mary. It says, hey, Chris, I've been enjoying the uplifting messages from the podcast. I'm on baby step 2, and for those of you who don't know, that's Financial Peace University. That's the debt snowball, the paying off the debt stage. And I'm wondering how fast someone making $40,000 gross could expect, so that's what, $34,000 net or something like that, could expect to pay off a $20,000 in debt. This includes $6,000 in credit cards and $14,000 in student loans. Is paying off $5,000 a year too slow, or should I try to cut deeper? Thanks for your advice. And those of you who are listening in, you're waiting for me. The ball's like kind of on the tee, and you're ready for me to just smack it and say, you got to do better. I know you are. But I just think it's a great question. It depends on some variables. It depends obviously on income, and Mary, you've told us that. But it also depends on your season of life, what kind of expenses you have. If you got 6 kids, $40,000 gross is going to be tough. But if you're single, it means something totally different. So $5,000 a year with this income, that was the information you've given me, is pretty good. I think 4 years, you're on a pace for to get rid of it in 4 years. And that's quicker than the average person. If this were me, Mary, and if you're single, I would pay this off in 2 years. And if I had a family and I've got 2 or 3 kids or whatever, it'd be closer to 3 years. But that would be what I would do. So it'd be a little bit quicker. 4 years is not bad. But 2 to 3 years is better. The biggest things that you can do, Mary, to speed this up. One is get another job. I mean, I don't know if you're already, you could be already working 2 or 3 jobs. I don't know. But that's for those of you listening in, if you're in this scenario, another job is number one. Number two is to simplify your lifestyle, including your home. So, Mary, in your situation, let's just say that you're paying $1,500 a month and you were to go to $1,000 a month. That's $500 a month savings. That's $6,000 a year. You just knocked off a whole year. So that'd be the number one way that you could, I guess there's the top two ways that you can speed things up. But cheering you on, and $5,000 a year is still bringing it. But if you want this thing behind you, then that's the way you do it. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are all surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us. Did you get that? Let us throw off everything that's getting in the way for us to run the race. And one of these things is this debt. You can't run yet. You've got these ankle weights on, so I want you to get out of that as soon as possible. Well, folks, we want to help you run your race, and of course, we want to help Mary run her race. Maybe this will help out. Now, if you can hear my voice right now, you owe it to yourself to get over to stewardship.com and sign up for the $20,000 giveaway. Now, Mary's trying to kick this $20,000 debt in the teeth as soon as possible, but I'm not sure about you. How would you spend $5,000 if you won? We're giving away $5,000 each week over at stewardship.com. How would you do it? Would you be saving up for your $1,000 emergency fund? That would kind of make that happen fast. Maybe it's a really awesome vacation for some of you. Listen, you can enter once every day. Go over to stewardship.com. There's a link there for the entry. It's called the $20,000 Rainy Day Giveaway. And again, Mary, hope you're listening today. Everyone else listening in, check it out. You can enter to win once a day at stewardship.com. So you owe it to yourself to head over there.
We appreciate you joining us today on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We want to hear your questions and your success stories. Every story, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And now back to Chris Brown. Chris?
All right, lines are still open, 866-357-3283. And this next call is coming in from my old stopping grounds, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. This is Jonathan. Jonathan, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. How can I help you?
I'm considering going into real estate.
Mm-hmm.
And as a real estate agent, I would like to know, how would I react to somebody that wouldn't be following Dave Ramsey's suggestions for purchasing a home? I wouldn't want to just sell houses, just even if they're not doing the 15-year fix, even if they're in debt. I wouldn't care. I'll just be selling just to sell.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to know, as a real estate agent, how can I be true to Dave Ramsey's principles for, you know, basically being for the buyer, but I wouldn't want him to, you know, do things the wrong way either. That's not how I'm going to buy a house, so I wouldn't want to be selling him a house like that, you know?
No, I totally get it, and it's a real wrestle for sure, and, you know, real estate is not the only industry where this conflict arises. I actually couldn't do it. It's part of the reason why I'm not in real estate anymore. I served for 3 years and absolutely loved my time, but I definitely came across that wrestle as well. But I, you know, Jonathan, I do know some amazingly just godly people that are real estate agents, and they don't feel that conviction. Okay. So, I think what you want to do in that scenario is you want to try to fill them with truth in the process as they go through. You just let them know, hey, this will put you here. This will put you here. Hey, and ask some questions. Say, hey, is this going to put your family in some tight spots? I know that, you know, you're pregnant and you're planning on having a kid in 6 months, and kind of lay out for them, some, you know, life coaching while they're in the journey. But I think we got to ask ourselves, where do we draw the line? Serving unhealthy food at a restaurant, you know it's soaked in butter, but you give it to them anyway. Someone, say, buying a bunch of fishing gear. You're at a retail store and they're buying a bunch of fishing gear, and you can see that the daughter has a bunch of old, faded clothes. Or where do you draw the line there? Or someone just swiping their credit card at any retail store? Or someone insuring a brand new luxury car when you know they've been struggling to make the payments on all their previous car insurance payments? Or maybe installing cable at a house with little to no furniture. They're like getting cable, but they have nowhere to sit. You know, it's not just that industry. So here's a great example in the Bible. Acts chapter 2, 38 through 42. Let's read this together. Peter is preaching at Pentecost. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." So he's preaching, right?
Yes, sir.
"Now, with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, 'Save yourselves for this corrupt generation.'" He's pleading with them, "Live this way." And then verse 41, it says, "Those who accepted his message..." Those who accepted, meaning some didn't, but those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Check out this next phrase. "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings." They devoted themselves. So all you can do is lead people to the water. You can't get them to drink. So if that helps you a little bit with your wrestle, if you feel like you can't do it, I'm behind you. And if you feel like you can, I'm behind you either way. But either way, you've got to make sure that you're coaching them through life, but they're going to make their own decisions. Now, I love the way our friend Kyle Eidelman, teaching pastor at Southeast Christian, said this on his Facebook recently. "Why would God bless us in an area where we don't honor him? Now, why would he bless our little system here that gives priority to greed rather than generosity? The reason why this matters so much to God is not because God needs your money. It belongs to him anyway. That, in fact, is the point. It's his, and he has every right to tell us how to use it. He doesn't need your money. It's not even that he wants your money. If God wanted your money, he could take it. It's that God wants you. He wants your heart. And God knows that there is no greater indicator of your heart than your money. We are cultivating hearts that are in love with Jesus. Well, that wraps up this episode of Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Folks, don't forget, head over to stewardship.com, check out Financial Peace University online, get a plan to get out of debt, get a plan to save and budget wisely, get a plan to invest for the future, all on your schedule. And let's not forget, we are giving away $20,000 over there too. So make sure you get over there. Folks, we are managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory. God bless you.